You know, Jimmy, something we haven't talked about for a while on our show is some of the things that are going on the international scale. You know, it's easy to spend a lot of time right now for me, though, just talking about American politics because they are so crazy right now. But, you know, you really can't leave out things like what's going on in Afghanistan right now.
Yeah, so the Taliban has total control. They've basically pushed women out of any education process after the age of about 10. They are bankrupt. It's still a very violent, controlled civilization. Of course, this is all the result of a 20-year effort by the United States to stabilize it, to push out foreign terrorists, and then to turn around and walk away from it very quickly. What we saw this last, you know, the last week and a half was a very interesting maneuver by the Biden regime and the Biden White House. They came out with a review, a handful of pages on what they said were the reasons for the withdrawal. And when in that review, the White House, the Biden regime with national security advisors came out and basically said, hey, they were constrained to take actions because of the Trump negotiations with the Taliban and the withdrawals that the Trump administration had done to that point. And so they were unable to stabilize the situation based on those premises. And I'm going to say that was a cover-up operation that they knew they had to do because a few days later, the special oversight IG, the Inspector General for Afghanistan Operations, published a report that absolutely lambasted the Biden administration for failures with administration policy, with confusion, and with a complete failure of to defend and protect the U.S. interests, but also that created a humanitarian catastrophe. The report was brutal, but again, the White House had put out this report prior to that to deflect away from the upcoming report from the IG. And sadly, the media has not really reported much on the IG report from the Biden withdrawal, the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Well, let's talk about why that's sad, simply because it's kind of bad for both entities, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, look, you know, we spent 20 years there, and once we were in, okay, yeah, we needed to change the direction. We need to withdraw. There's no question about it. But we could have done it in a very smart way. Uh-huh. And it was under the Trump administration, they had a conditions-based withdrawal plan. So the White House report had stated that the Taliban had controlled 51% of the country and was the strongest position it had been since the 2001 invasion. Well, that is an absolute lie because under the Obama administration, the Taliban had retaken about 60 to 70% of Afghanistan. Now, the Obama administration had a set of policies in place that the Trump administration inherited, and they were not constrained by the previous administration. In fact, Trump increased troops to Afghanistan, stabilized it, and by the time he left office, we had gone nearly 18 months or at least over a year without a U.S. casualty. However, with the Trump administration, and I operated in Afghanistan while he was in charge, we had very strict rules on what we could and could not do. And the only time that the Afghan government needed our support was when they were in a very serious situation and we could provide reinforcements or soldiers that would back them up. But we did not engage with the Taliban. That did not require a large footprint and could have been transitioned from a combat operation to a security assistance operation. And I will tell you, we've had security assistance offices in many, many countries for decades, that provide support to maintain a government's ability to defend itself. That was an easy solution that the Trump administration could have taken. And if the Taliban had been breaking the rules and the conditions of the ceasefires and the withdrawal agreements, then we could have acted. But the Biden administration chose not to act against the Taliban and, in fact, stopped talking to the Afghan government and only talked to the Taliban. So that was a disastrous set of decisions. And it created the conditions and left many, many, I mean, literally hundreds of thousands of allies that had been operating with the U.S. and other partners in Afghanistan, and left them hanging with no direction, including other foreign forces that had been fighting alongside with us for two decades.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole lot of mismanagement going on right now in a whole lot of areas. I'd like to talk about some of that mismanagement. I don't think with the context of what we're doing today, that's probably a very good idea. Maybe do it in one of the next daily editorials, because there is some mismanagement going on. And well, go ahead.
No, I think we ought to talk a little bit about lack of strategy in Ukraine.
Yeah.
You know, what the failures in Afghanistan are going to be repeated in Ukraine without some sort of a sophisticated view of how we want an end state to that conflict.
Yeah.
And pouring more money and pouring more equipment into it is not going to bring peace. Right now we're seeing some success by Ukrainian forces in defending on those front lines where the Russians had tried really for two and a half months offensive operations. They've made very little headway. And I'm sure, and I see a lot of evidence, that the Ukrainians will begin a very sophisticated counteroffensive operation once again. And you're going to see a lot of casualties on both sides, and you're going to see a real failure by the international community and the Biden administration to come up with a solution from the conflict, as we just pour more money into it. And I don't think a destabilized Russia is a good outcome. I don't think a Russian in complete control or of the Ukrainian eastern areas is a good outcome. But there are potential negotiated ways to get out of this, but I see no strategy that would be supporting that. This is very different from past international operations or support for what happened in the Balkans or even in Iraq. Mm-hmm. Or Afghanistan, for that matter. There were people that came up with different strategies to stabilize and to stop the conflict. There were players that didn't ever want to stop the conflict, and I understand that. But in this case, the Russians are probably looking for an opportunity to stop the bloodshed themselves. And so there is an opportunity for some discussion. I'm not a Russian. I love the Russian people. The policies that Putin has put forward are absolutely devastating to the people of Ukraine and of Russia. There needs to be some alternatives from what's happening right now, and I see nothing from this administration that shows any sophisticated view of how to approach this.
Jim, why do you think that's happening? I mean, I have to believe that Biden has got to be thinking about that a lot, and I have to believe that he's got to be looking for somebody who can fill that post. Doesn't look like he is, though, does it?
No, it doesn't look like it at all, and I really don't think he's aware or paying much attention. I think what happens is different people are giving him different papers, and they're actually probably like your grandfather when he's very, very sick. You're just kind of kowtowing and pretending to you don't want to offend him, so they're going to give him a paper, and they're making decisions about his future without actually even talking to him. And I think that's what's happening in America right now, and I think what's happening in foreign policy, and it's devastating around the world.
Right now, well, I want to make one final comment here, and that is some of these things that are going on an international level right now are certainly important, and don't take this the wrong way, but I think what's going on in America is significantly worse. I mean, France, basically with the direction that they're now going, is actually a very detrimental action to the United States. The United States needs to do more than clean up its act. The United States needs to take a world leadership position again, and I don't think they can do it under Biden, Jimmy.
Closing. No, I don't think so.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.